Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
It's the S, the L, the I, the M. Let me tell you what I want to do. Let me show you that I feel you. When I freak, when I ride with you. When I taste, when I put my lips all over you. Can't get enough.
Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. A new intro there, aptly 112, as this is show 112, Sean Boyd.
Oh, man. Way to bring us in, man. I love that. 112, peaches and cream. I love it. What a way to start it, man.
A little back in the day dinner buffet.
Man, I'm over here bobbing. I'm doing my thing. I'm feeling good, man. How about yourself?
Man, you know, at first I wasn't sure what was happening with that acoustic music in the beginning. I was like, that's not my music, but hey, it all worked out.
Yeah, of course it's going to work out, man. We're on the Double with the Double S Express and bringing to you some awesome, awesome talk, sports talk all around the globe, man. And normally you're the one that's traveling, but where are you at today, man?
Oh, back where it all started, the DSX Studios in Richland, Washington. A nice 99 degrees heat beating down on us today. What more can we ask for?
You know, this whole West Coast has just been getting hit with some tremendous weather. And, of course, you know, here in Sacramento, we do our share as far as 100-degree weather. And we're doing just that. It's supposed to be raining a little bit later. Of course, there was a hurricane down in Mexico that is supposed to shed some light here in Northern California. Los Angeles has been hit with a little bit of it, but you know, so far no signs of rain here in Sacramento.
Yeah, definitely not in the Pacific Northwest either. Rain is nowhere in the picture.
You know, and you know, hopefully there will be some rain here. We're on a Probably one of the biggest droughts that we've ever been in. I hear that in Washington State, there's some drought alerts as well. But, man, hopefully El Nino comes through this winter or this fall, and we can start to get some of the levels, the lake levels and river levels, back to where they need to be.
Well, Sean here for show 112, a big show for you. Two big-time guests getting back to our normal style here on the Double. First guest right about 7:10 will be Xavier Martinez out of the 916. Get this, a professional boxer at the age of 17.
You know, I'm so excited to talk with Xavier. You know, when I first heard that he was a professional boxer, I'm like, wait a minute, no way in the world. 17 years of age, yes, it is true. And he presides here in the Sacramento area, which I'm fondly proud of. And so I look forward to talking with him. And, of course, Sean Wally, our guest number two, does some cool things, you know, especially up in the Pacific Northwest around this time of the year. Of course, you have a Seafair, and then you have the Columbia Cup, Jimmy Shane of the Oberto team, hydroplane racing, will be joining us as well. So, man, we got an action-packed show, and I'm excited to get it ready and get it going.
That's how we do it here on the Double every Monday night. And, Sean, golf, the British Open tipped into Monday thanks to bad weather, and it came down to a three-man playoff.
What an exciting tournament the Open was in Scotland, and of course where it all began. And man, how else could you play this one out but a three-man playoff? And ladies and gentlemen, it didn't include Jordan Spieth. Believe it or not, Jordan going for the hat trick, three straight majors in a row. And of course, he was embarking on that with the Masters, the U.S. Open, and then coming up on the Open. And Jordan Spieth tried valiantly, but came up just short on the last hole. Three-man playoff with Zach Johnson, Louis Oosthuizen, and Mark Leishman. And Zach Johnson winds up pulling it out, Sean Wally, on hole number two in the four-hole playoff. They played hole number one, two, 17, and 18, and Zach Johnson comes out victorious.
You know, it's got to be tough as a golfer to have the rain delays, the weather delays. you can't really get into a rhythm, and then you're stuck not playing golf most of one of the days when you're planning and preparing for 18 holes, and all of a sudden you're going into an extra day. Everything is out of sync, yet somehow those guys found a way to make it happen.
You know, Sean, here's the thing. You know, the Open is one of the biggest tournaments in the world, but yet year in and year out, they have torrential winds, whether it's in Great Britain or Scotland, excuse me. It just seems like they're just torrential winds, and these guys have to get themselves prepared for it as an element. On day two, we saw, you know, the balls being blown all over the course, and, you know, it was, you know, it's just one of those things that these guys have to put up with. And, you know, I think it shows, you know, the types of players that these golfers are. If you can bear the elements, then, you know, that does make you one of the best in the world. Zach Johnson on this weekend, on this day, wound up being the best at the Open.
So how interesting is it to note, Sean, that you worked the U.S. Open in the Pacific Northwest, Chambers Bay Golf Course, University Place, Washington, where most people were maybe a little uncertain about the weather. Could it rain? Is the wind, the rain going to be a factor coming off Puget Sound? Yet the British Open is where the weather issues were, and the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay was, for the most part, 90-95% gorgeous.
You know, I don't know where the – I know that most of the complaints came from the way the greens were, and that's justifiably so, and I understand that as a professional athlete, you want the best courses available. I'm kind of thinking that the U.S. Open, that these players were hoping that it was going to be overcast and rainy, because at the U.S. Open in Chambers Bay, it was a links course, just like it was a links course at the Open in Scotland. And so I was thinking that maybe they were hoping that this would be a precursor to where they can practice a little bit and get used to the links going one tournament into the next. That wasn't the case. Beautiful weather in the Pacific Northwest. Maybe a little bit of dust here and there. Yet and still, two majors back-to-back links courses. And, you know, you got to tip your hat to Jordan Spieth, number one in the world here. You know, he did an awesome job, you know, as far as getting himself back into it, into the tournament on day three. And, you know, just came up short. But, you know, the way golf is, you know, it can go either way. You know, sometimes your putt's going good, and sometimes your driver's great, and, you know, you just kind of take the good with the bad.
Let's head out to the Sacramento area, not too far from Sean Boyd. Go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines. We'll welcome in big time guest number one tonight, Xavier Martinez. Xavier, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Xavier, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I am so excited to get this chance to talk with you, man. 17 years old. That's how old you are, correct?
Yeah.
And you are a professional boxer. Man, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So 17 years of age, let me see. When I was 17, my goodness, I was probably, you know, maybe trying to buckle down just a little bit on my craft and what I wanted to do and what I wanted to become as far as track and field was concerned. But, man, I had no aspirations of being a professional at that age. Kind of give me an idea on what that's like. You're 1-0 as a professional.
Yeah. Well, my initial plan was to go to the 2016 Olympics, but, you know, things don't always go as planned, so I decided to turn pro because I feel like it would be a better fit for me, and I feel like I have the talent to take me, you know, at the top. So that's why I decided to go pro.
Now, Xavier, you had mentioned that, you know, there were a couple of things that made you make the decision to go pro. Now, boxing is a tough, tough sport, not only physically, but, you know, the way the politics kind of go with it as well. You know, what were some of the reasons? Yeah. What was the main reason? I mean, obviously, you're a great fighter, and you felt that maybe, you know, things should have gone a little different. Kind of explain that a little bit.
Yeah, well, I went to two national tournaments, and I got robbed in both of them. I should have won. And then I just felt like that was the last straw, like, because, like you said, you know, politics, you know, and politics are a big part of amateur boxing. And I just felt like maybe it's just not meant for me to go to these national tournaments to win them because, you know, there's already people chosen to win them. So I was just like, you know, I'm going to go pro and, you know, take off from there.
Now, Xavier, it's quite the interesting story of how you decided to give boxing a shot. You know, things were got a little rough for you at school, and you decided to use that aggression in the ring.
Yeah, at seven, yeah, I was always getting into fights early, and my parents felt it would be better off, you know, me trying boxing. And ever since then, I haven't been in a fight ever since I was seven.
And Ray Woods has been your trainer that whole time. Talk about how he has helped guide you and mold you into the professional that you're working your way to becoming.
Man, Ray's like another father figure to me, you know. He's taught me so much, and, you know, he's helped me become the fighter I am today and also the young man I am today. Me and Ray got a great relationship, and I thank him so much, you know, for putting his time into me and molding me to the fighter that I am. It's not easy to, you know, take the time out every day and teach someone the sport of boxing.
Xavier Martinez joining us here on The Double as the world's youngest professional boxer. Man, that's exciting. Of course, you're fighting at the super featherweight level. And, you know, tell us about that first fight. I mean, you fought Mario Hernandez. I believe this was in June 25th. And it lasted, it went the distance, about four rounds. Give us an idea on what it was like as you're, you know, going into your first professional fight.
It was a great experience. It was weird, though, because as an amateur, every fight I was in, I was always nervous. I always had the butterflies. And my pro fight, I didn't have no nerves, no butterflies. And, you know, when I got in the ring, I felt real good. Like, I felt like, oh, this is meant for me. And the fight went four rounds. I hurt the guy a couple times, but, you know, he wasn't going down. So I decided to, you know, to take advantage of it and just, you know, show off my skills and show what I can do. And I took home the victory.
Now, Xavier, obviously you're still growing into yourself. You know, your body's not going to be fully developed to probably till about 20, 24, 25 years old. You're fighting fighters around that age. Is there a distinct difference in the strength of the fighter when you go against them?
Yeah, there is, but I've been sparring grown men since I was 14. I actually spar one of Sacramento's own boxer, Guy Robb. He's with Top Rank. I spar him every day. He's my teammate. And he's helped me out very much in getting ready for the pros. But strength-wise, strength has a big factor in it, but I think being smart and using your skills is better than, you know, just having strength.
Now, Xavier, what is a normal training schedule for you? Like, how many hours a day are you either cardio training, weight training, training in the ring? Is it daily? Is it weekly? What's your schedule like?
I train every day for 2 hours, sometimes three, sometimes even longer. And then on the weekends, I go running with my team. Boxing's an everyday thing for me. I've been doing it for so long. It's the same routine every day, and, you know, ever since I turned pro, you know, the training's gotten a lot harder from, you know, when I was an amateur, but I love it, and, yeah, it's a daily thing for me.
Who do you look up to in the boxing world? You know, previous boxers, the past 10, 20, 30 years, is there anybody that you watch their fights and their technique and try to be somewhat like them?
One of my fighters I look up to is Diego Chico Corrales. You know, he has a lot of heart and a lot of will. I look at him a lot, and then I also look at Floyd Mayweather. I love his style, and everyone says he talks a lot of trash and all that, but I like how he backs up and how he dedicates himself to the sport of boxing, and how hard he works. You know, that's a great example for me. Because it shows hard work does pay off.
Xavier Martinez joining us here on the double. And Xavier, that's interesting that you mentioned Floyd Mayweather. And as you were describing your style, you said, you know, technique plays a lot into that. Of course, Floyd Mayweather being that type of a person. Do you ever find that, you know, it might be a little, you know, boring to go into technique, or do you worry about that, or is winning the most important thing?
Winning is the most important thing, and then being smart is also an important thing. You know, people like to, you know, the fans want people to see people get knocked out. And, yeah, they say Floyd's boring, but, I mean, look how long he's lasted from using his technique. You know, most fighters get beat, and then, I mean, look at Muhammad Ali. He took so many beatings, he could barely talk, you know. But technique plays a big role, but I plan on using technique and being an exciting fighter for the fans.
Xavier Martinez, definitely you have a strong, smart head on your shoulders. And now, speaking of that, you have a tough regimen as far as practice is concerned, as far as workouts and training is concerned. Where does school take place in this?
School, I balance it out. You know, I was going to Sheldon High School, but now I'm gonna be getting homeschooled for my senior year. You know, because of I'm gonna be traveling, I'm not gonna have enough time to be going to school. But school plays a major role. You know, because anything can happen, and I need a diploma. And while I'm boxing, I also want to go to school for architecture.
Xavier, Ray Woods, your trainer, what are the top few things that he tries to teach you and instill in you, not only as a boxer, but a person as well?
You know, be very humble, and be a very genuine person. Ray's taught me so much. You know, I've been with him basically, you know, for a lot of my life. And every day, you know, we talk about a lot of things, and he just instills in me, you know, he wants to see me become a great young man and achieve my dreams and goals in life. And he's been right by my side ever since. And, you know, I love him for that, and I thank him very much.
Now, what does your mother think of you boxing now at the professional ranks? Is she a little bit leery, doesn't want to see her boy get hurt, or is she full speed ahead right behind you?
My mom's proud of me, you know. She's proud of me. She was a little nervous, but, you know, she knows I've been wanting to do this for a very long time, and she's very happy and proud of me that I'm achieving my dreams and goals.
Now, Xavier, of course, you being one of the greats or up and comings as far as boxing is concerned in the area, I'm sure you know, you know, some of the history in Sacramento. Of course, Tony the Tiger Lopez. Have you ever had a chance to meet and talk with him, Hall of Fame boxer Tony the Tiger Lopez?
I've seen him at local fights, but I never really got the chance to, you know, personally meet him and conversate with him.
Now, if you were to take anything from, you know, from his style of boxing, have you ever had a chance to watch and see what type of fighter Tony the Tiger was?
I kind of like his style. I mean, honestly, I'm more of a boxer puncher. I can do it like a little Floyd. I'm all around. I have an all around style. You know, I could box, I could brawl if I have to, and I think it's better to have more than one style, because, you know, some people just have one style and they always stick to that every fight. I think it's better to have, you know, multiple styles, so when the fight comes, if one style doesn't work, then, you know, you're going to have to adjust to another one. If that doesn't work, then you have to adjust to another one. So it's always good to have one more than one style.
Xavier, you're just 17 years old. Do you find that your age hinders you a little bit, that guys in their mid-20s don't want to face somebody who's only 17?
It's a good feeling, you know, to know that, you know, I put fear into other fighters' eyes. But then again, no, not really. I mean, I just want to fight, you know. I just want to climb the, up the ladder slowly and get my fights in.
At 17 years old, you've turned professional, so I'm assuming you can earn money at 17, or do your parents have to sign off on that? How does that work?
I get paid directly. My parents don't get, they're not involved. They don't have to sign anything. It's just, it all comes to me.
What's next on your agenda? Do you have any fights lined up, or are you looking for that next opponent?
I'm actually fighting August 1st, again in Tijuana, and then sometime in September, hopefully, I'm really hoping to fight in Las Vegas in September.
Wow, that would be amazing to get a fight scheduled in Las Vegas, and definitely best of luck August 1st in Tijuana. Now, I'm guessing that the time and effort you've put into boxing, that you want the sky to be the limit and you want to go as far and as high as you can with your boxing career.
Yeah, you know, I've been dreaming about a lot of things. You know, some days when I'm in bed laying down, you know, I look at nice cars, nice homes. It's just a real big dream that I really want to achieve. And I feel like, you know, with Ray in my corner and with my talent, you know, I could, you know, sky's the limit. I could reach it. When I was little, you know, it wasn't as big to me. You know, I wasn't really focused on it as much as I am now. But, yeah, sky's the limit for me. You know, one day I'm going to be a world champion.
Well, Xavier, I tell you what, you keep us posted on what's going on. Of course, you're talking about August 1st in Tijuana and then in September in Las Vegas. But any fights that you have coming up, keep us posted, man. We would love to support you and watch some of your fights, man.
Yeah.
Xavier Martinez, 17-year-old professional boxer. He is 1-0 on the pro ranks. Thank you so much for your time, and best of luck August 1st, your next fight in Tijuana. Thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
All right. Take care, Xavier.
All right, you too.
There goes Xavier Martinez. Just amazing what he is doing at 17 years of age.
Man, again, I can't even begin to tell you where my mindset was at age 17, but here he is as a professional athlete, a professional boxer, and doing some great things and starting out his boxing career on a positive note. Again, man, back in June, just this past month, beating Mario Hernandez in a super featherweight bout. And what an awesome kid, man. I mean, he's taking an adversity, you know, and saying that he started out at age 7 and, you know, getting in a little bit of trouble at school and, you know, maybe scuffing it up a little bit with some of the classmates, and found a way to turn that into a positive. And now here he is as a professional fighter, Sean Wally, and he could do some great things.
And he's had over 60 amateur fights, so it's not like he's just stepping into the ring after a few sparring matches and he's going to try it out. No, he's got over 60 fights in his belt, plus the one professional, so he's definitely got decent experience. And, man, he's been training and practicing and fighting for 10 years already.
Yeah, you know, and Sacramento is a hotbed for boxing, and USA Boxing has been here for quite some time. Over the past month or two. And so there, if you wanted to, you know, get a chance to see some boxing, go on to USA Boxing, go online to USA Boxing and check out what's going on in the Sacramento area or in your area to where you're listening to on the Double with the Double S Express. And get a chance to see some of these young and upcoming boxers and see great people such as Xavier Martinez.
And Sean, I like the fact how he mentioned Money Mayweather's style, and that, yeah, maybe it's boring to the spectator, but look at the longevity of his career, all the money he's made, and if Xavier can come anywhere close to that, it will be a storied career for sure.
Yeah, you know, it is a sport, and you know, of course, we have colleagues that we go back and forth with on this whole thing about, man, two boxers standing in the middle of the ring like Neanderthals and just slugging it away. But that's not the case. There is an art to boxing. And what Xavier is saying is he's embraced what Floyd Money Mayweather has done. And, you know, he also pointed out the longevity because of that. And, you know, maybe he won't be, you know, comatose like some of the other boxers, you know, that stand in there and slug it out. But, man, I like this kid, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of the great things that he will be doing. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to talk some more sports. We're going to have guest number two coming up, and that is Jimmy Chain of the old boy, Alberto Hydro. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So, guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. Cause you fell with the cross fade.
Yeah. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And coming up at 7:45, big-time guest number two tonight will be Jimmy Chain, the driver of the Oh Boy Alberto Hydroplane, as the Water Follies Week is here in Tri-Cities, the Columbia Cup on the Columbia River, to be followed by Seafair in Seattle. So a big week on the water in Washington.
You know, I'm really looking forward to talking with Jimmy Chain. And as you're mentioning, this is an exciting time of the year for the Pacific Northwest, getting ready for the Hydros. And for those of you who haven't had a chance, I know that here in Sacramento and Folsom, we tried to do something the past couple of years, and it's fallen short. But, you know, I hope that in the near future, we can get something going at Folsom Lake to where, you know, the spectators out here, the fans, can get a chance to experience what is so great up in the Pacific Northwest. And you're mentioning the Columbia Cup coming up in the Tri-Cities. Beautiful weather every year around this time. I mean, you know, you can kind of take your pick on what beautiful weather is, but I can tell you it's going to probably be in the 90s. It's going to be nice and warm. And, you know, there's great racing up there. And then, of course, finishing it off in Seattle, Seafair weekend. So many things going on Seafair weekend. Of course, there's the Seafair parade. Then there are the Hydros. Of course, the Blue Angels are back after being on hiatus for a little bit. So hydroplanes and this time of the year in the Pacific Northwest means so much fun. And so I'm looking forward to talking with Jimmy Shane about that.
Yeah, and the Columbia Cup on the Columbia River in Tri-Cities, Washington is the closest you can get to the race course because the Columbia River not as wide as some of the lakes like Lake Washington or some of the other courses throughout the country. So one of the best places for visuals, for photos, and to get up close and personal with these fast jet boats.
You know, and when I'll never forget growing up there in Tacoma, and when, you know, Seafair would come around, you know, you always had the chance to pick whichever boat that you liked. And, you know, I always picked the Miss Budweiser. That just seemed like the thing to do. And it didn't matter, you know, who were the drivers or anything like that. I can go way back on you, though, Sean Wally. I can mention the late, great Chip Hanauer that was one of the drivers for the Miss Budweiser. It just seemed like, hey, the Bud was going to win every daggone year. It was fun times, though. And, you know, those are things that you remember, you know, when you're thinking about, you know, the hydroplanes.
And who can forget the battles between Miss Budweiser and the Miller team? So you have the two big beers going at it. Chip Hanauer driving for both teams at different points in his career. And, of course, the Pringles Chip boat for a long time was in contention with those three, and great battles. And you've had the Old Boy Oberto for many, many years, and it's going to be a bittersweet year for the Old Boy Oberto because this is their last year as a sponsor of hydroplane racing.
You know, which is sad, you know, because hydroplane racing again is kind of put into a certain section of the United States. Of course, they race over in the Great Lakes area and then make their way over west. And, you know, it just seems like there's just not enough funding. And it's sad because, you know, hydroplane racing to me is a part of Americana for me growing up. And so, you know, hopefully it will stand strong. And again, we can talk with Jimmy Shane about that, you know, when he gets on. And so, you know, again, looking forward to hydroplane talk with Jimmy Shane.
Sean, there's been no baseball at Safeco Field for a while with the All-Star break and the Mariners starting the second half on the road. So Sunday, they packed Safeco for a softball game, the Richard Sherman Celebrity Softball Classic.
Man, and so so say that again. They packed Safeco Field for a softball tournament, a celebrity softball tournament.
Absolutely. The blue versus the green. Richard Sherman hit the first pitch out for a home run. So it was definitely good times in the sunshine in Seattle.
So which celebrities were on tap this year for the Richard Sherman? Now, I don't want to talk too much about this celebrity softball tournament because there still are some things that we're working out, meaning on the double with the Double S Express with Richard Sherman and his crew as far as calling that game. So I don't want to give it too much until we reach that agreement and get what we need as far as calling it. But who are some of the celebrities that played in this tournament?
You've got a lot of NFL names like a Larry Fitzgerald, a Brandon Browner, former Seahawk who now signed with the Saints. And he said something very, very interesting yesterday. He signed a 3-year deal with the Saints. He said after his contract, he wants to return to the Seahawks.
Wow. So it's like calling a home run shot. You're saying, hey, I'm going to be gone for a little bit, but I will be back right here. And so how did that go? I mean, is that, you know, Browner's, he's not old, but, I mean, after about 2 or 3 years, I mean, is he going to be past his prime?
Well, he'll be turning 31 soon, and so at the end of his contract, he'll be 34, moving into 35. So we'll have to see what he has left. Maybe he'll be a nickel corner at that point. But it's obvious that maybe the grass wasn't greener for him outside of the nice paychecks he got in New England on top of another Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, well, you can't take anything away, Sean Wally, from that Super Bowl ring, though. He was on the right side there. But if he gets a chance to come back to Seattle, you know, where it all began with the Legion of Boom, I'm sure that would be great for him. Of course, in this celebrity softball softball match, there was a Northern California feel from one Marshawn Lynch, of course, running back for the Seattle Seahawks. How did he do up there in the celebrity softball game?
Well, he did as well as you can when you score the winning run for Team Green, defeating host Richard Sherman and Team Blue.
Well, you know, the way Marshawn is, he only knows 100 miles an hour, and that which is the reason why he has the nickname Beast Mode. Well, of course, here in Northern California, we got a chance to see some of that Beast Mode as he was playing with some of the neighborhood kids in a Boys and Girls Club event. It was a kickball game that was in down here in Northern California. And if any of you have seen any of the highlights, you can probably go onto YouTube and check it out. Man, this guy goes all out, and he was beast mode on the base paths in the kickball as well. This guy kicks it halfway across the country. I didn't think anybody could kick a kickball that far, but there Marshawn Lynch is, you know, again, only knowing one speed and going all out, and all he knows is wins.
Man, beast mode and his tree trunk legs. I mean, you had to know he could boot it to the moon. Come on now.
Well, come on. There's some big people that, you know, you think that could kick the kickball, but they have no coordination whatsoever. So for him to be able to pull that one off, and I mean, I know he's a running back and has great agility and this, that, and the other, but that does not necessarily equate to being able to swing your foot and kick a ball. But, man, he impressed me. It looked like he might have kicked that thing maybe a good 250 feet, man. I mean, it was amazing to see.
So what you're saying, Sean, is the Seahawks have their backup kicker in Marshawn Lynch should Steven Hauschka go down with an injury.
Why not? Kill two birds with one stone. Save some money. I mean, you know, the guy does it all, man. He's out there swinging the baseball. And, you know, hitting the game-winning run in, and now he's playing kickball and doing those cool things. Why not? Why not have him place kick? You know, he can probably kick from about 35 yards.
Well, Sean, you asked about names yesterday at Safeco Field for the Richard Sherman Celebrity Softball Tournament. And, of course, you had Richard Sherman. You had Russell Wilson, Cam Chancellor, Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch, Doug Baldwin, to name a few Seattle Seahawks. One, KD, Kevin Durant, Brandon Browner, Carissa Thompson, Russell Westbrook, Byron Maxwell, Jerron Johnson, Earl Thomas, Larry Fitzgerald, Rain Man, Sean Kemp, Matt Barnes, Dez Bryant, Joe Hayden, Jermaine Kearse, the pride of Lakewood, Washington, Jamal Crawford, Rainier Beach, Kerry Williams, Bobby Wagner, Isaiah Thomas Jr., Claudia Jordan, Nick Young, LT Hutton, Brian McKnight, Floyd Mayweather. Quite the list of celebrities at Safeco Field yesterday.
You know what I would like to see Kevin Durant and Sean Kemp. I'm sure that would be a spectacle to see, you know, two guys about 6'10", swinging a baseball, trying to crouch themselves into the strike zone, Sean Wally. Can you imagine what that looks like? So, case in point, when Interleague started, you know, a while back and Randy Johnson is pitching, you know, him getting in the batter's box. Do you remember seeing what that looked like? Can you imagine? So, somebody KD size, Sean Kemp size, in the batter's box, trying to swing a softball. That had to have been comedy.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Those guys are huge. They play a different sport. Now we're seeing if they can maintain their fitness prowess and put a bat to a softball.
Yeah, so that was the thing going on at Safeco. That packed Safeco as far as baseball is concerned. Now, after the All-Star break, there have been some talks still as far as, you know, maybe some moves that are going to be made. You know, teams that still believe that they're in it And I'm talking about the Seattle Mariners. And, you know, they, even though things are have started out bad, they still have a chance. What are some of the talks up there as far as trade rumors are concerned before the deadline?
It's really all speculation at this point. And really, it's tough to say what Jack Z, the GM of the Mariners, can do at this point. I mean, he already went out and got Mark Trumbo as an attempt to upgrade the offense, and he's been mediocre at best. The bullpen has been the biggest problem outside of the offense. You look at today's game, the bullpen gives it up in Detroit in the eighth inning. They squandered a one-run lead to lose 5-4. Two of the games in New York over the weekend, same deal. They had a one-run lead. They lose it in the late innings. So they're close, and that's the frustrating part. They're close. You know, Felix Hernandez pitched the other day in New York and gave up one run, yet they lose the game because the bullpen can't hold it. It's frustrating that the bats are doing okay. They're not still not where you want them to be, but they're scoring 3, 4, 5 runs a game, and to this point in the second half, it hasn't been enough.
And, you know, the actual plus, you know, starting out the second half for the Seattle Mariners was Robbie Cano in New York, who actually knocked out 2 home runs in one game. And that looked like, hey, maybe this could be the spark for the Seattle Mariners to get things going. But as you mentioned, the woes continue. They get the bats going, but they don't have, you know, enough as far as the pitching is concerned to close the deal. Now, of course, for, you know, my boys down here in Northern California, the Oakland Athletics, they are showing little signs. Of course, they're only about 4 or 5 games in from the break, but the Minnesota Twins came in and the Oakland Athletics did what they needed to do. And of course, you know, they had a 1-0 lead in the first game of the 3-game series, and the second, and then the Twins wound up tying it up, but then the A's came back and won it in the bottom of the 10th, wound up winning 3-2. Then the next day, the bats woke up and they busted out the whooping stick as far as runs are concerned, as they beat the Twins 14-1. And of course, so the A's won 3 in a row and have knocked themselves, actually catapulted themselves ahead of the Seattle Mariners from being dead last in the AL West. But with 10 games and 9.5 games out, there's still a little time, Sean Wally, so we can't throw in the towel just yet. Let's hope that these two teams can get something going and give the fans something to scream about down the stretch.
Well, what was it in 1995? The Mariners were 13 games out in late August. So, yes, for both teams, the A's and the Mariners, there is still time, and you're saying there's a chance.
Well, you're talking about those 95 Mariners and the refuse to lose season. Man, I still get goosebumps when I think about that, you know, where I was at that time and, you know, just feeling like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe how horrible this team was. And then they just started getting win after win after win after win. And you look back on that roster and it is just a Hall of Fame roster that Seattle Mariners had. And, you know, those were great times.
Now, Sean, what do you think about this? There are people saying the Seattle Mariners should trade for one Alex Rodriguez if the New York Yankees will pick up most of his salary. You look at his average, he's hitting over 270. He hit the game-winning home run Friday night to beat the Mariners. He apparently can still swing the stick, and his 272 average is better than most Mariners.
Sean Wally, are you serious right now?
Hey, I didn't bring it up as an idea. Somebody else did. I'm just asking you your opinion.
You know, and I'm going to give you my opinion on this because that's probably the most horrific, idiotic thing that you could ever do is to bring Alex Rodriguez back to Seattle after everything that has gone on from the time that he left Seattle. Actually, we'll just go back to before then when he, you know, felt like he was bigger than Seattle and wanted to get out and wound up leaving to Texas for $250 million. Now, you know, I'm just going to leave it at that, you know, because if I get going and start, you know, if you get me started on this whole Alex Rodriguez thing, we don't have enough time you know, for a show on, of that magnitude. But, you know, I'm just going to leave it at a flat out no. There's no way, shape, or form would I want Alex Rodriguez suiting up in a Seattle Mariners jersey again.
Well, you definitely don't want to bring Darth Vader to the Jedi's. So let's get off the Alex Rodriguez talk and go back out to the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines and welcome in Jimmy Shane, hydroplane driver of the Oh Boy Oberto. Jimmy, thanks for your time tonight.
Absolutely. How's everything going?
It's going fine now that you're on here, Jimmy, because Sean Wiley was about to get me started on Alex Rodriguez talk on him possibly coming back to the Mariners. That's kind of the murmur that's going on. I couldn't go there. Welcome to the show, Jimmy. How you doing, man?
Good. Well, you know, as funny as that sounds, I would actually love to see Alex Rodriguez come back to the Mariners.
Oh!
He is killing it this year.
Well, man, Jimmy, hey, we're not even going to go into that, man. I want to talk about these cool things that are going on with you, of course. We're talking about this is hydro season. You guys just coming over from the Midwest and heading over to the West Side for how many weeks is it going to be that you're going to be out here?
So we have the race in Tri-Cities this weekend, the 24th, 25th, 26th, and then we have the race at Seattle Seafair, and that is the following weekend, which is July 31st, August 1st, 2nd.
Now, Jimmy, there are some great things that have been going on with you. And what I mean by that is you have moved from – explain to the listeners, because I want to know this as well, the difference between the U6 boats and the U1 Unlimited. So what are the differences there?
So basically, I mean, it's the same boat, but by establishing having the U1 designation, it's a sign of us winning the national championship last year. So everybody, that's what we are racing for all year long. It's the National High Points Championship, and we are proud to say that the Oberto Miss Madison boat won it last season. So we're very proud to have the U1 on the boat this year.
And definitely congratulations on that. And of course, you're getting the chance to race at the U1 Unlimited level. You're 21, 22 years of age?
I actually starting to get older now. I just turned 29.
Oh, 20. I'm sorry. 29. Man, how did I miss that? My goodness. Where did the seven years go?
Maybe I just sound very young.
Yeah. And so with hydros, with racing the hydros, what part of the country would be the place where you'd like to race the best? Is it the East Coast, Midwest, the West Coast? Which suits you the best?
The West Coast is the races that you want to win. I mean, between Tri-Cities and Seafair and San Diego, a lot of the teams are based out of the Seattle area in the first place. So not only is it our couple best races for number of fans, what we're racing for, but it's also bragging rights for a lot of the teams because so many are based out in the Northwest area. When you win, you can pretty much see the rest of the guys all year long and say, hi, you know, we got you this year. So it's definitely bragging rights when you win the West Coast races. And the stakes are up this year in Tri-Cities. It's what they call the APBA Gold Cup, and it's the first time that the Gold Cup's been back to Tri-Cities since 1984. And it is the world's or America's oldest motorsports trophy. This is the 106th running of the APBA Gold Cup. So it's a very prestigious award to win if you win in Tri-Cities this year.
Jimmy Shane joining us, driver of the Oh Boy Oberto hydroplane. And Jimmy, that APBA Gold Cup, how bad do you want to bring that home for your team?
Absolutely. We were fortunate to win it last year, and it was the first time that the Miss Madison team had won it in 43 seasons. So I do not plan on waiting another 43 years to put my name on the cup again. So we're going to do it again this year just to make sure that doesn't happen.
The race in Tri-Cities on the Columbia River, Seattle the next week on Lake Washington. Do you have a preference, river versus lake, in terms of what's better for your boat and your driving style?
Yeah, the Tri-Cities course is definitely one of the fastest courses we race on all season long. Well, you'll see average speeds of over 160, close to 165 miles per hour on the lap. So it's going to equate to us running about just around the 200 miles per hour mark down the end of the straightaway. The Lake and Sea Fair, on the other hand, that is a much smaller, and the course is a lot more rough on the lake because the water has nowhere to go off of the log boom, the spectator fleet that's out there. So we normally only get up to about 185 miles an hour in Sea Fair, but the boats are much more lively bouncing off that rough water in Sea Fair, that's for sure.
Jimmy Shane joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And now, Jimmy, of course, this upcoming Columbia Cup in the Tri-Cities will be the 50th year of the Tri-Cities Water Follies. Now, were you aware of that?
Correct. Yeah, this is a humongous year, and it's one of the reasons why they really tried hard to get the Gold Cup here in the Tri-Cities is because of how big this year is for this race. 50 years, it's going strong. It's definitely one of our best events, and it's just going to put icing on the cake with it being the Gold Cup. Everybody is going to be fighting extremely, extremely hard to win that final in Tri-Cities this year.
So tell me, you're explaining the difference between the Columbia River and Lake Washington. Now, do you have a different game plan or a different style when you prepare for each of these races?
Absolutely. Our setup for Tri-Cities on the 2.5-mile course is going to be absolutely completely different than the 2-mile course in Seattle. We're flat out going for speed in Tri-Cities. You want to be going as fast as you can down the straightaways, whereas more in a Seattle-style race, you really need more boat handling and acceleration on that type of course. So it's going to be two different styles of driving, two different styles of racing, and the fans in Tri-Cities just get to see flat-out speed, which is what they're coming there to see.
Jimmy, how much training and practice do you get in preseason and then also during the week as your midseason?
You know, I get that question a lot from a lot of people, and it's surprisingly we get very little to no practice time in these humongous big machines that go as fast as they do. We have a couple of hours on Friday before the race weekend, and then we go straight into qualifying, and then we go straight into racing on Saturday. So we really only get about 20 to 30 minutes of practice time every weekend. And out of the 6 races a year, it's not much practice time in the boat. So you have to be on your game coming right out of the gate in order to accomplish, you know, a national championship or winning races even, for that matter. You got to be strong right out of the gate, and you got to not hold anything back right from the get-go.
The Oh Boy Oberto team, been a fan favorite hydroplane racing for many years. Jimmy, what is your take on the fact that this will be the final year that Oh Boy Oberto is sponsoring a hydroplane? It's got to be very bittersweet.
Yeah, you know, it's very bittersweet for me because this was, for me, this was one of the teams that I really wanted to come to because Oberto was such a great sponsor. It was one of the last nationwide names as a sponsor that we had in the sport. And to see it go is going to be tough, but at the same time, it's opening up a door for us to bring in another big-name sponsor into the sport. They can see how much worse it is being on a top-tier boat for a sponsorship. It's nowhere near the cost of a NASCAR team, but you still get, especially in the Northwest area, you get the kind of endorsement, the kind of fan base that you see from having a sponsorship on one of the good boats that you know, it is very sad to see Oberto go, but at the same time, we're going to be bringing another great sponsor for next season, and we're very much looking forward to seeing what next season brings for us.
Now, Jimmy, of course, that seems to be the nature of the business is to, you know, to have the right sponsor to support the teams. Of course, there it happens a lot in, you know, NASCAR. Of course, for me growing up in the Pacific Northwest and, you know, I talked about this earlier with Sean as far as taking that liking and picking a boat early. Of course, Seafair is just a great, big, grand weekend. And I picked the Miss Budweiser. And I remember being little, you know, how the Miss Budweiser used to dominate time and time again. And, of course, there was the old boy Alberto that was there. I believe the Squire Shop had a boat back then. There were so many different, you know, sponsors. Is that something that hinders the sport, or is that something that will keep it consistent moving forward?
Well, I think, you know, you're definitely hitting on a big market there, is that when we had the Miss Budweiser boat in our sport, it was a great attraction for other sponsors because they knew how big of a name that was in the sport. I think having the bigger name sponsors that we can get, it's going to attract more big sponsors in the sport overall for all the teams. So we really need to focus on getting a sponsor that's going to not only sponsor our boat, but going to sponsor the series as a whole. As the series grows with that big sponsor, we're going to attract more and more bigger name sponsors. I think what our sport really needs to get into is the dot-com sponsorships and the dot-com companies that are out there. These companies are huge. They're big. They have a big market. There's a ton of them in the Northwest. And I can tell you that that is where our first main attack is going to be on a sponsor, is one of those dot-com companies. And if we are able to get one or two of them into our sport, it's going to open the door for more of companies like that to be attracted to some of the other teams that are out there. So I think having big names in the sport is great. As you said, you had Squire Shop, you had Budweiser, you had Circus. There's all these names that these people remember, and that's what we need to focus on in getting it into the sport.
Now, Jimmy, is there room to have, you know, more teams? Meaning, I mean, I know that you could add probably one or two teams, but is there room for maybe a push of maybe 5-6 different teams coming in?
Absolutely. There is, right now, there's four boats sitting on the beach that are top-tier equipment, and that's not what we need in the sport. It's always kind of been that way, but we're bringing 12 to 13 boats to Tri-Cities, and this is going to be one of the most competitive fields that we've had in probably the last 10 years. So I'm really, really excited for the fans to see the show that we're bringing to Tri-Cities, to Seafair, and I think it's really going to be opening up some eyes on some of these big sponsors that, hey, you know, we don't need to spend as much as we're spending now on what we're doing. We can go and sponsor these H1 boats and get our name out there in our area for much less than what we're doing now. So I think it's going to be great for the sport. I think that if we get those big name sponsors out there, you're going to see those 5 or 6 boats that are on the shoreline come out, because the money's going to be there, and we're definitely heading in that direction with our sport. I'm happy to be a part of it right now, being one of the number one drivers in the sport, and I just want to see it continue to grow, and I want to see the future of the sport you know, strive for a very long time.
Jimmy, you're the defending High Points National Champion. Who would you say is your biggest rival as you move to the Columbia Cup and Seafair the following week?
You know, if you go strictly by stats, you have to say that our biggest rival is J. Michael Kelly in the Graham Trucking boat. It's the old boat that I drove to a national championship in 2013, and he was right on my heels last season, only beat him by 450 points. So we have been neck and neck the last 2 years, and he's definitely the biggest rival. There's another new boat coming out, and that is the Elam Plus with Jean Sarret. And if you remember the Elam days with Dave Ilwok driving, the boat was a terror on the course. I mean, just as fast as can be. And I really think coming out of the box that Jean Sarret's going to show the speed out of that new boat. And then we've had some really big news here lately in the last week. Ed Cooper is bringing out his piston-powered unlimited hydroplane with the twin turbos on it. So the thunder and the noise is coming back to unlimited hydroplane racing in Tri-Cities this year. That boat is capable of winning a race at any time. He's just as fast as the top-tier turbine teams, and we are very, very excited to have Ed Cooper back with Jimmy King as the driver, and I'm definitely going to keep my eye on them all weekend long as a top competitor.
And if I'm not mistaken, that piston-powered engine used to power a jet, correct?
That piston-powered did power a old airplane from the World War II era, and it's amazing to see those piston engines, those V12 engines, and with Ed Cooper making the upgrades with the twin turbos, they're seeing speeds now that are in excess of 200 miles per hour with a piston boat, which is just unbelievable to watch on the water. So you guys have to come down to the Tri-City Water Follies and see that boat and obviously the Oberto boat and all of the other boats racing on the water down there.
Do you have a personal preference, the quieter turbines or the old school loud piston powered boats?
I really don't have a preference. My preference is speed. And right now we're going very fast in the Oberto boat with our turbine engine, and we're definitely going to stick with that program no matter what. But you never know. Having that piston boat coming back is going to open up doors. It is an unlimited category, so anybody could go out and try a couple of big car engines or maybe a Merlin engine, bring that back from the old days. It's great to have that difference between the piston-powered motor and the turbine-powered motor, and you guys are going to see it next weekend.
Now, Jimmy, when are we going to see you on the Columbia River? Are you going to wait till Thursday, Friday to head into Kennewick?
Yes, I do have a day job, and I will be working at my day job on Thursday, so I will be heading over to Kennewick on Thursday afternoon. Try to take a couple hours off of work maybe and get over there early. Probably won't happen, but I'll be over there Thursday night, and we're going to be prepared. The boat is already over there. It's been over there all week at the Reach Museum, and all the fans can stop by there and check out the Oberto boat on display. And we are going to be ready to go on Friday. This Friday is the Tri-City Water Follies event.
Jimmy Shane, safe travels across the mountains to the Columbia Cup. Tri-Cities Water Follies, best of luck this weekend as you look to defend your national championship and go for that APBA Gold Cup. Thanks so much for your time tonight.
Good luck, Jimmy.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it so much. And bring back A-Rod.
Jimmy Shane, you can follow him at JimmyShane1 on Twitter. And for all of the Oh Boy Oberto hydroplane information, visit MissMadisonHydro.com.
Man, Sean, you're going to have a lot of fun up there 2 weeks in a row, man. Man, with the Tri-Cities Follies and the Water Follies and Seafair coming up. You know, again, I've mentioned this a few times already. This is the most awesome time of the year up in the Pacific Northwest. The hydro's coming in. And, of course, Seafair. You know, I am biased to Seafair. Just one of the greatest weekends that you could possibly have. It seems like it's always 75 degrees and sunny. Get a chance to see the hydros. Get a chance to see the Blue Angels. Get a chance to see the Seafair Pirates coming in off the Puget Sound and Lake Washington invading Seattle and the Seafair Parade to name a few of the things and enjoy the beautiful scenery that is the Puget Sound.
Yeah, it's just going to be an amazing time here in the Tri-Cities along the Columbia River. They expect 70,000 to 100,000 people that don't live here to embark on the shores of the Columbia River. So if you can imagine that many people, the traffic logistic nightmare alone. But hey, every weekend it tends to work out and everybody's either tan, sunburnt, and, a little happy from a little too much liquid beverage.
To say the least, man, to say the least. So show number 112, man, guest number one. We have an awesome, awesome slate today. Xavier Martinez, 17-year-old boxing professional prodigy out of Sacramento, California here and doing some great things, 1-0 as a professional. His next bouts will be, we know at least, August 1st in Tijuana. That is his next slate. Be sure to follow him and some of the great things that he is doing. And, of course, guest number two, Jimmy Shane of the Oh Boy Oberto Hydro, the UN Unlimited. Some great things coming up in the Tri-Cities at the Columbia Cup and at Seafair the following week for Seafair Weekend. It's been an awesome show, Sean Wally.
Sean Boyd, I can report that guest number one, Xavier Martinez, is an awesome, awesome young man. He just sent me a message. Thank you again for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. Xavier, the pleasure was all ours. Best of luck in your next fight and your awesome career that you're embarking on.
No doubt, man. And of course, him being here in the Sacramento area, definitely going to look him up and see what's going on with him. Man, Sean Wally, show number 112. You gotta like it, man. I love how the show started out. And Don, we can cue that one because, you know, that's how we're going to end it. But as we always say here on The Double, before I actually say that, you can catch us on our website at double-s-express.com. You can see all the archives there, or you can catch us live on Mondays at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at bbsradio.com/DXDSX. You can also catch us on Stitcher, Twitter, iTunes. I didn't leave anything out, did I, Sean Wally?
Oh, my gosh. You know, you got Stitcher, you got iTunes, you got bbsradio/DSX, you got our website. And, hey, I'm going to do this because it's my show, our show, and I can. I just want to say a thank you and a hello to the Squires in Snohomish, Washington, for listening to just about 99 to 100% of our shows every single week. They set an alarm. They pull us up on the laptop. Sometimes they're even out of state, and they still find a way to put us up on their son's television that is displaying all the speakers, surround sound. You know, they go out of their way to listen to our show, and we thank you very much.
Yes, we do. Hats off to the Squires and all our listeners here on The Double with the Double S Express.
Whew. Hey, Sean.
Hey.
I've got this show down back in my home state, and I have one more next week before it's Bon Voyage one more time.
Oh, man. The Globetrotters and the movement that is Sean Wally getting ready to do it once again, man. This should be a lot of fun for you. I'm glad that you had the chance to take a deep breath and spend some time with family up in Washington. And, you know, you had a great family reunion this past weekend as well. And so I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to be up there with you and the family and have some fun. But it looks like you guys enjoyed yourselves. And so, you know, I'm glad that you had that time to spend with the family.
Yeah, it was a good time to reconnect with some people you haven't seen for years and others that just live down the street that maybe you haven't seen in a month or two or three. So I kept you abreast with some nice videos and kept you a part of it.
Yes, always keeping me a part of the family, which I love being a part of. And, man, I appreciate you for doing those things, man. So this is show number 112 in the books. As we always say here on the DSX show, you're not in the game until you take a shot, when you take that shot, we hope that it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. This has been a DSX LLC production. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd. And for Don Newsom, the engineer, and hey, we have to throw in this week, because guest Xavier Martinez, we have to throw in a special thank you to Alicia Flores for putting this one together. Again, for Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd. Don Newsom, the engineer, you've been listening to on The Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On The Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On The Double with the Double S Express.